Hi, everyone. Welcome to America Trends. Glad to have you along for the hour here on the YouTube America TV network and our audience on Biz Talk Radio. I'm Amy Fuller. Again, glad to have you along. Coming up, we have Jeanette Arona going to talk about Lyme disease. If you're not familiar with this, this is so debilitating and very much a mystery, this Lyme disease. And we're going to talk about just what it is with Jeanette Arona and how she says she has cured herself. So I'm really looking forward to this. Stephen Wiseman with Scamicide will be here with us also, giving us the updated news on what the bad guys are up to when it comes to cybersecurity and all that stuff. There's another Nest camera hacking incident. So he'll tell us about that and a few other things. It is Safer Internet Day. That is meant to spotlight keeping you and your kids safe online, especially from, say, online predators, especially for the kids, right? And we're going to talk about that and also using the internet in a way that's good for your mental health and not harmful, you know, too much and all that stuff. So that's going to be with Kristen Sunana Walker of the Mental Health News Radio Network. And we've got a couple things to talk with her about today. Valentine's Day is coming up. Let's get it out there. All the baggage. She wants to know if anyone is healing from a bad relationship, how to help yourself. And going on a first date on Valentine's Day? Good luck with that, but she will have red flags on how to spot a narcissist, a sociopath, or codependent before you get too involved. So did you follow all that? She will break it down for us, and it's going to be pretty interesting to talk about. Trending in the news right now, reaction to President Trump's State of the Union address as another huge caravan proves his point about border security. Listen to this new caravan, and there are two more on the way, by the way, besides this new one that's already arrived at the U.S.'s southern border, this time at the Texas border by Eagle Pass, Texas. Most of them started their journey from Honduras 1 month ago. They are now at a shelter on the Mexican side. They were met, the estimate 1,800 to 2,000. They were met by police in riot gear. And so that's what they arrived to now in a shelter. Fox's Griff Jenkins is with the caravan. Let's listen.
It's a quick setup. This is the shelter beyond this fence where the 2,000 plus migrants that began a trek from Honduras on January 15th have ended up. We are on the border with Texas, just a couple of miles up to the Rio Grande River across from that Eagle Pass, Texas. But this police force, show of force that you're seeing behind me is a bit of a containment, law enforcement telling us, trying to keep the migrants who may realize now that they've gotten to their final destination and they're being kept inside for security purposes. Law enforcement says their own, along with the communities, and the lawyer, the mayor here says it's to also keep them from going freely across the Rio Grande because it is a very porous river without a lot of wall or fencing along that area, and they're concerned about that.
So some 1,800 migrants in a caravan that's arrived at the southern border, Mexican side. The mayor there in Mexico says they will be processing every single migrant, and if any of them has not applied properly for asylum there, which lasts a year, they'll be deported immediately. Also, other news, late night comedy hosts are addressing the blackface controversy surrounding Democratic Governor Ralph Northam. This after days of controversy over a racist photo in his medical school yearbook and his comments supporting very late term abortion. Northam gave an awkward press conference Saturday saying he would not resign. And now Virginia's lieutenant governor is accused of sexual assault from during the Democratic National Convention in 2004. He is denying that and saying it's a smear campaign, not ruling out that it was started by Northam. All this going
on
in Virginia.
Virginia's Democratic governor, Ralph Northam, admitted to being one of the people in this old yearbook photo, right? But he didn't say which person he was. And I don't blame him, because neither option is good. Yeah, it's like you're taking a trip and your only choices are the Titanic and Spirit Airlines, you know?
Which is worse?
I was definitely in the hood, which is why you can't see how mad I was at that other guy for wearing blackface. Ooh! Ooh, if I didn't have that hood on, you would've seen I was so steamed at him.
Hey, I suppose admitting to blackface is actually worse. Yeah, because then everyone's mad.
Give me your attention, baby.
Welcome back to America Trends. Glad you're with us for the hour. I'm Amy Fuller. Really excited to have you along. We're talking about something I'm sort of interested in chatting about and sharing with you. It's Lyme disease, and I think that there are very few. There's more fewer. It's very frustrating when you get diagnosed with something. You can't get diagnosed with something because you're sick and no one can figure out what it is. And that happens almost all the time with Lyme disease, and sometimes doctors can't identify it at all. So we have Jeanette Arona with us tonight. She is with Wellness for Lyme, and you can find it right here, Wellness for Lyme. The four is number four. And Jeanette, we say welcome to you. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We're so glad to have you. So can you tell me sort of in a nutshell what Lyme disease is? I know it's so many things, but if you could just give us just a snapshot.
It is a gram-negative bacteria that just attacks your body, and it is miserable, okay? You start out with just different symptoms, and you're just going to your doctor, you know, migraines, pain, you know, numbness in your legs. You're just trying to figure out what's the matter, and unfortunately, that can go on for years and years. And during that time, your symptoms are getting worse and worse. And you're getting all these diagnoses. Like for me, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, rheumatoid arthritis. And this is just over a couple year period. And when you're sick every day like that, it just seems like a lot longer than that because unfortunately—
Day in, day out.
Yes.
It really takes a toll, my goodness. And then
so many people
knowing.
Already have it. I mean, it's an epidemic and just so little is known about it. And there's so many people right now that are just really, they're just, every day is agonizing and full of pain and migraines. So
a lot of doctors have a hard time diagnosing it. I know people whom I know very well who were misdiagnosed for 8 years with MS.
Yeah.
Very, very sick. And then finally, you know, figuring out this is what it is. And this is a tick-borne illness?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
It can be gestational, too. You can pass it along in the womb?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So something you got to test the whole family with. And that's another thing, probably mm-hmm. for another segment, because you can get tested for Lyme and told you don't have it.
There's a whole testing conversation.
right, indeed. But I want to ask you a little bit about your journey, because you say you've healed yourself. And I know people who have Lyme disease who are suffering will really want to hear your story.
Thank you. I'll try to do this without getting emotional, but it was very, very difficult because prior to that, I was normal. I had a good job taking my daughter to soccer and just really involved in that. And I started getting numbness in my legs. And I, you know, we used to walk during the evening and I had to stop doing that. And that was just in the very beginning. The symptoms started getting worse, and you're going to your regular doctor, you know, and just not knowing what's the matter. And like I said, you fall into getting all these other diagnoses. And for me, it took me years before I found out I had Lyme disease. And it was just by chance. Somebody mentioned to me, have you heard of Lyme disease? Have you been tested? I didn't know what Lyme disease was. And, you know, I had
so many things. It can be blackouts. It can go into when it gets into your mm-hmm. brain, babesia, if I'm saying that right.
Yes, and Bartonella.
I don't know if they still know everything about it.
Well, it's called the great imitator because it imitates so many diseases with all of its symptoms. And even the doctors, they just really don't know enough about it, unfortunately. So the diagnosis for me, I actually was in the doctor's office, a specialty office, okay? At that time, I was being seen for rheumatoid arthritis, and I was crying in pain. Wasn't able to work anymore, by the way. I had to leave my job of 12 years. I had 24 years optical experience, and I had a great job that I really liked. Just couldn't do it anymore. I was literally going in the ambulance every week or going to the emergency.
That's not
wasn't
way to
able
live.
To take care of myself. So, and this goes on and on. You know, this is... We're talking about it in a couple minutes here, mm-hmm. but when you're actually living that and your whole life gets thrown upside down and you're throwing out thousands of dollars at a time just trying supplements and chiropractor and this and that, when really it's all inside here and you need to build up your immune system so you can actually get well.
Well, and there's so much, we're going to have you back and just really mm-hmm. investigate a little more about Lyme disease, but I want to, before we run out of time, hear how you... I mean, you cured yourself?
Well, I have to be really careful with saying cured, but I'm symptom free.
Okay.
I'm symptom free.
Good enough. Man.
I'm living my life.
What'd you do?
I actually did all kinds of treatments, but they got me nowhere. Mm-hmm. If you look on the wellnessforlyme.com, you can see all the treatments I've tried, and I spent over $200,000 on those. On an indigenous reservation, I was so fortunate to meet a chief, and I started doing CBD, which a lot of people that have Lyme, they're already doing CBD, mm-hmm. and it helps a lot with the symptoms, which is really great. And then I started taking the immune blend of mushrooms.
So CBD, just can you spell that out for people what that is?
The hemp CBD is has the cannabinoids, but it doesn't have any THC, or it has very little THC. Mm-hmm. So you can actually take the cannabinoids that have the THC if you're in a lot of pain. If you're still working and you don't want that THC, you can do that too. But the CBD you want in your daily regimen. It really helps with anxiety, seizures. I mean, you know, I would definitely recommend to Google CBD because it did a lot for me.
For sure. What do you have here that you can tell us about too? Because I know you brought some things that we got a smoothie and some other things that are good for immune health. What are all these?
So we have the immune blend here, and I just want to say not all mushrooms are created equal.
Okay.
So these are actually organic and vegan, mm-hmm. gluten-free. And it's just a supplement, but it really builds up your immune system. And this is what really turned my life around, is the immune blend. And actually, we have some truffles here that have the immune blend powder in them. We also have a smoothie here that has the immune blend. So you can put it in soups, salads, whatever you want. So this is just a couple of examples.
Whatever you like to eat. What are in the little bottles here?
So we have some hemp CBD, which we have some capsules there. And we also have the oil, which you can take every day. I really recommend both of these products on a daily basis.
So a good example of how to ingest. Mm-hmm. What did you do? How long did it take for them to start having an effect for you?
I felt them in the first few weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. And so if I can take you back to how I was bedridden, okay? I was not able to make my own food.
Right.
I usually would just not even able to eat. So after about 2.5-3 weeks, I was actually walking to the kitchen, making my own smoothie. I started feeling a shift in my energy, and I'm like, something's happening here. Like, I'm feeling something.
That's huge.
Yeah, it is huge. And when you're like that, that little bit of hope is, like, it's huge. I can't even explain it.
I invite everyone to go to Wellness for Lyme, Wellness4Lyme, and that's your website, and they'll get a lot more information and can contact you. And we say thanks to Jeanette Arona for coming in and sharing your story. We want to have you back. So sorry we're short on time. I could talk to you all day.
Thank you so much for having me on here.
You bet. We're back after this. A girl like you should never... Hey, everyone. Welcome back to America Trends. A good song. Hey, surprise! I talked Jeanette Arona into staying for another segment to talk a little bit more about Lyme disease. Her website is Wellness for Lyme. Wellness for, the number four, then Lyme is spelled L-Y-M-E. And what a story you have. I want to have you back someday soon, but I'm so glad that you could stay for another segment because you had a 9-year ordeal trying to figure out what you had. And how did you say you met someone who introduced this to you. How many people had you gone through before you found this? What was a chief, you say?
Yes.
So alternative treatments, and they worked for you.
Yeah, and these people turned into family to me.
I'll bet.
So I almost actually didn't try it when I was introduced to the mushroom blend because I had tried so many things, and I had spent all my savings. I sold everything I had just trying to get
well.
And
that's what happens, because then when you get diagnosed afterward, mm-hmm. too, insurance doesn't always pay for it all. And that can bankrupt people.
And I'm glad that you brought that up because, you know, at first, if you don't know anything about Lyme disease and you finally get a diagnosis and you're like, yes, I know what I have. Now I know what I need to fight.
Yeah.
There's no cure for chronic Lyme disease. So if you've had it past the 3 months, it's just turned into chronic and it's so much harder to beat. The antibiotics will not kill it.
Just real quick, the 3-month thing. Can you give like sort of a red flag warning for people to know if you think you've been bitten by a tick? You or even a pet maybe.
Mm-hmm.
A child, don't worry about, don't, you know, think am I overreacting? Don't just sort of brush it off. Go to the doctor now.
Get on the antibiotics, even if you're not sure. If you just think that you got bit or your child got bit, assume that you got bit, ask them, you know, can you give me some antibiotics? Because when you first get bit is the time that the antibiotics will work, like I said. After the three-month period, it's not going, the antibiotics most likely won't work.
And this can present, you can get bitten as a child, and it can present in your 30s, 40s, 50s, way later, and that's why people have no idea.
Yes.
So you're saving yourself, and it's so important. It just sounds like one more thing to deal with when you're talking, when you're trying to take care of your health. But if you have this, and so many more people have it than they even know about, let alone what doctors report.
Yes, it's a huge epidemic, and I recommend that everybody should look up Lyme disease and just read a little bit about it, you know?
It's funny, I have a friend from high school, and just a quick little aside, she contacted me a few years back, and she said, I know you're a praying person. Will you pray for me? I have this. I know it sounds weird that I have all these weird things, but no one can figure out what it is.
Yeah.
And I wrote back after knowing this other person that's close to me, and I said, I don't think it sounds weird at all. I think it sounds like Lyme.
Good for you.
And she, I don't know. I mean, it just jumped out at me.
But at least you opened her eyes to at least getting tested.
She sort of said, sure, yeah, they don't really think. A year later, she wrote to me and said, it's Lyme, you are right. And I was stunned.
Wow, yeah.
So that's just how much of a mystery. She only took 1 year. You took, how? I mean, my friend took 8 years to diagnose. How long was yours?
It was a few years. I mean, my symptoms started in 2009, and I got diagnosed in 2013. And that felt like a lifetime for me.
So here are some of the symptoms. And these you can have, is this right that you can have some or all?
Most of the time, anybody that has Lyme disease will have at least 20 of the symptoms.
20, so this is just a sample. Oh,
yeah.
yeah. Severe fatigue, body aches, for our radio audience, just gonna read some of these. Joint pain and swelling, eye inflammation, fever. A fever can occur 3 to 30 days after the initial bite. Headaches can also occur initially. Neurological problems, liver inflammation, chills, rash. I know one way it presented in my close friend, blackouts. She couldn't drive anymore, couldn't do anything.
Well, one of the things that my best friend and I, we kind of joke about it now, but when my symptoms first started, I'm talking right in the beginning, I was driving home from work, and I had been working there 8 or 9 years at this time. I didn't know how to get to my house. I got to this certain point on Scripps Highway Parkway, and I was like, just blank.
Just blank. In San Diego, we're in Southern California here, so you're on your street.
I'm calling my BFF, and I'm like, okay, I know this sounds really weird, but I don't know how to get home from where I'm at. And that happened about 3 times. And I told my doctor, and I said, look, this is not me. I've been working at this job for years. And it was just, you know, I had somebody pass away in my family in 2008 that really affected me. And so the doctors were telling me that it was depression. And I said, look, it's not depression. You know, it's not. I would never, ever let it get to me to the point where I was going to be missing work or not remembering how to get home. Like,
what a story Jeanette Arona has. She is the founder of Wellness for Lyme. And so you went through all this, and then, again, we'll just show the products. We had them last segment, but a few things for our TV audience to see. These are some of the things, the way you can ingest this compound that has helped you. And you think it's...
I call it a miracle.
We like to say cure. We like to think cure, but symptom-free, which is huge.
Yeah.
What was the biggest thing that helped you say it just took a few weeks?
Just the energy that I started feeling. It was like a shift where all of a sudden I'm getting out of bed and wanting to like start wearing a little bit lipstick. And, you know, before I got sick, I was lipstick and makeup every day, like always wanting to wear cute clothes. But when you're sick like that, you don't even think about that stuff because you're just having migraines. You're in a lot of pain. And the pain moves around your whole body. So one day it could be pain in your back, and the next day it's in your legs. And the day after that, it's in your arms and shoulders. It's just, it's so common too, that it really gets to me. And when I look back and think how long I went through that, and I talk to people that have actually had it their whole adult life and didn't know it for many years, and then they still have to like fight it. And I've seen them change their lives. And then I told myself I have to do something to spread the word about this, because I would have done anything for just a little bit of hope when I had spent all my money and I still wasn't better. If somebody would have just, and somebody did it for me. I mean, I was introduced to it and it changed my life.
CBD.
So now I feel like I need to do it. the immune blend mushroom, the mushrooms and the BioVita is just try it. That's all I'm going to say. If you try it for 1 month, it's going to change. You're going to feel the change in your body. Your pain starts decreasing because this takes away the inflammation. And when you have pain, a lot of it's caused by inflammation.
Inflammation is the devil for
it's
all
nerve
kinds
pain.
Of diseases. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you just take that those two things for 1 month, I guarantee it, I have not seen anybody stop.
How many people have you seen try it?
Quite a few people.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you started feeling better after 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. So I hadn't driven my car for months. And in 2 months, I was driving my car.
I'll bet that was scary.
It was a little weird, but it was exciting. I was just so happy that I was, like, had my makeup on and I was driving outside. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I guess I wasn't scared. I wanted it so bad. I wanted my life back. You know?
So you were up on your feet enough to feel secure that you could do this. And you were, Kate, wow. That's so neat. So I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. I say everybody get tested if you think it could be an issue. And we'll have to have you back on and talk about, there's a lot of mystery with it. Cause like I said, you can pass it in the womb. But this person I have close to me passed it in the womb, but also has a couple adopted kids, and they have it too.
Oh, wow.
And so it just makes you say,
what
is going on?
My heart goes out to them.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know,
but you're doing a good job for us, Jeanette. Thank you. And please
thank
come
you so
back.
Much.
Wellness for Lyme is a website. Thank you for what you're doing and for spreading the word, and I just wish you the best to come. Stay
thank
symptom
you
free.
So much.
You bet. Appreciate it. Okay, we're back after this with Kristen Sunana Walker talking about a few things. Mental Health News Radio Network. Oh my goodness, we are talking about sociopaths, narcissists, and as an added bonus, codependents today on America Trends with our friend of the show, Kristen Sunana Walker of the Mental Health News Radio Network, actually talking about a few things, including it's National Safer Internet Day, which I thought meant, cleaning up your computer with bugs. It really has to do with your mental health and staying away from predators and making sure your kids are not spending too much time on it or being targeted. There's just a lot to it. So we're going to talk to Kristen about that. Also, about healing. If you've been in a, I don't know what you would say, a bad relationship, a harmful, abusive relationship. And I'm going to chat about that a little bit. And Kristen, welcome.
Thank you, Amy. Nice to be back.
Listen, I love that this is right before Valentine's Day, and you said, let's talk about how to spot, before you get involved, a narcissist, sociopath, or codependent. And they walk, some are worse than others, and they walk among us, don't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes you think there's one on every corner. How do I look? Where do I see? What? Don't look in their eyes. Yeah, absolutely.
And then you start learning some of the what do you say, symptoms, the characteristics,
right.
And you're like side-eyeing everybody. Okay, so the thing is, it's how to spot on a first date or before you get, go on the second date, I suppose. So how do you spot it? What are some clues? Do you want to start with sociopath or narcissist? Do you want to tell? How about you tell me the difference between the two and what they are, and we'll go.
Absolutely. And it's funny, we just did a show about this last night with a therapist who had narcissistic personality disorder, spent 11 years in therapy, and now works with narcissists,
Wait
the ones
minute.
That will actually show up to therapy.
Okay, let me just interject really quick, because there's a lot of people have narcissistic tendencies. We all have a little bit of ego.
Yes.
But there's a difference when you say narcissistic personality disorder. This is off the charts. And it's interesting you say, because I know psychologists and things I've studied that narcissists can't be cured, supposedly. And it's one of the most frustrating subjects that psychologists and psychiatrists ever have to deal with, because they try to help people and they get hoodwinked and they're really not helping them. So,
right, exactly. The thing with someone that's at the level of a personality disorder, and you're right, we all have our egos, and we, people that don't have a personality disorder like narcissistic personality disorder, antisocial personality disorder, we evolve and we realize, oh, that's really horrible behavior. Let's grow out of that and let's not do that anymore. And that is the nature of the disorder, is that they don't grow out of that. They can modify their behavior and spend a lot of time in therapy modifying their behavior, but that initial, ability to have anything other than just cognitive empathy is just not there, according to the experts out there. Then you get into what a sociopath is, and I'm told they have no empathy whatsoever.
Okay. Sociopaths are often very charming, and their charm may prevent you from seeing who they really are, because maybe they mirror people or they've studied how to be to get what they want from you or from whomever. Is that just sociopaths, or do narcissists have a little bit of that too?
Yeah, well, every sociopath is a narcissist. Not every narcissist is a sociopath.
Okay, wait, say that again. That's important.
Every sociopath and psychopath is a narcissist, but not every narcissist is a sociopath or a psychopath.
Interesting. Okay. Okay, so I'm glad you're giving us these warning flags. So say you're on a first date. And this charming person, everything seems great, and you're, oh boy, this is pretty amazing. But is it one of those things where maybe it's too good to be true? I mean, what is it, Kristen?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to think about, I'll have friends that will come to me and say, oh my gosh, I'm texting this person every day now, and they just seem wonderful, and we connected so much on the first date, and they're really rushing. Now they want to see me twice a week and three times a week. I think, okay, well, you have friendships in your life that you've developed over the course of years. Why is it now okay to skip all those important milestones and go right to the finish line with someone you just met? So that rushing, pushing you to get in deep with someone quickly, that's a big, big red flag.
But it just feels like, when people meet and they fall in love or something like that, how do you tell, it's nice to spend time with this person and yada, 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 or if it's something that's really weird? Because it sounds like that could happen with a lot of people that aren't narcissists.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's hard to tell on a first date. Listen, these people are practiced at being charming, at mimicking your emotions, and they absolutely love making a meal out of highly empathetic, codependent people. So it's very difficult on a first date. There are signs that just outrageous charm, if they treat you differently and maybe sneer a little bit at the waiter or the waitress, these are broad strokes though. But if
this guy looks shady right here, doesn't he?
Yes.
Kristen, for our TV audience.
Yes.
I'm not going. We're not going.
Yeah, if you see a glint off of their teeth that immediately shines,
teeth.
And a wink, and the stare, they call it the narcissistic stare, where they just stare, they bore a hole into your head.
Are you
staring
serious?
In your eyes. Yeah, there, it's part of the wooing, that goes on with these types.
Sociopaths are incapable of feeling guilt, remorse, or shame. What is, if someone does get involved and they didn't see the flags or they don't care or whatever, or don't think it's important, why should they be afraid?
Well, let's see. Typically, they want you because they want something from you. So it's power, money, your connections. It's not about you, the human being. So whatever it is they want, they're going to work on you until they get it. And that means they're going to get it and they're going to take it away from you. So if you don't want to lose your power, your money, your self-esteem, and your friends and family, don't get involved with these kind of people.
I learned this a few years back, and let's face it, Kristen, we get to a certain age and we met all kinds of people, right? But
yeah.
I read that I think it's sociopaths will do you harm. Do
yes.
you harm, and they will make you feel like you should apologize for it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A high spectrum narcissist will do the same thing. They project their own wounds onto other people because they don't want to deal with them. But their method of not wanting to deal with them is very different than a sociopath. A narcissist does feel, so they say, incredible shame for everything that they do. And they just can't handle any kind of pain whatsoever because they're in pain constantly. A sociopath is a whole different story. They're doing it because they like to wound, and the pleasure centers in their brain, the ones that you and I say see a bunch of donuts or a puppy and we get all excited. Well, they get that same kind of excitement when they've emotionally or physically hurt someone.
Oh, you know, it makes me think. We talked last week with Dr. Huber about the Ted Bundy tapes, that new docu-series that's out on Netflix. It's trending like crazy. And, you know, people love true crime. And they said about him that he, I don't know if it was a quote that he said or they said about him that he thought with the next kill, it would satiate him, and it never did.
Right.
So it sort of rings true with what you say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, not every.
And he was handsome, supposedly. He was like practiced in the mirror and all these things. He was known as the handsome serial killer.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. We're going to talk a little bit more about this and what codependency is. And then if you've been in a shabby relationship, how to heal and a safer internet day. She is Kristen Sunata Walker, our good, good friend of the show with the Mental Health News Radio Network. And we're back on America Trends right after this.
Girl, I know that you've been waiting and talking.
Welcome back to America Trends. We're here with Kristen Sunata Walker tonight talking about sociopaths, narcissists, and codependents, and anything else scary that we might want to throw in the mix. Kristen, welcome back.
Thanks, Amy.
So the ordeal was how to spot them and sort of stay away from them, and narcissists and sociopaths, and why you want to stay away. Codependent, this is pretty interesting. Because a lot, from what I understand about this, codependents attract codependents. And a lot of times there's stuff involved like alcoholism, and there's a big, heavy mix with all this. So can you kind of describe a little bit about what codependency is?
Yes, it's when you really don't have a healthy sense of yourself. You derive your sense of self from other people. And so you get into relationships with people that, are either, that can be a very abusive, or they also derive their self-esteem from others. And, you end up with a relationship that doesn't have healthy boundaries. And, you end up depressed, anxiety, all kinds of different things from being so in need of your value from other people.
You know, it reminds me of a cartoon I saw that made me laugh. It said, I can't remember if you don't like the salmon or if I don't.
Right.
And that kind of pinpoints it. So an emotional and behavioral condition that affects your ability to have healthy, mutually satisfying, also called relationship addiction. So that's sort of probably a phrase people can grasp onto and identify with about what we're talking about. But again, the codependents attract each other. Does that happen most of the time, or do you know?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say it happens most of
really?
The time.
Okay.
I'd say, being that Valentine's Day is coming up quickly, love addiction is another way this is described. And it's when you're constantly looking to be filled up by that romantic fantasy idea of love, and that someone else is going to come in on a white horse or Rapunzel's hair down the castle, and they're going to meet all of your needs, and life is now going to go off into becoming a Disney movie. And that is dangerous to live like that.
Okay, that sounds like every Disney movie and every love song I've heard since I was a little girl. So how do you, what if someone's watching right now and they think, maybe that's me?
Well, then I would seriously look at how, in your life, how it is that you fill your own cup. How often do you have to run to someone else or have expectations in relationships, especially a partner, for them to meet all your needs for you? How okay are you with being alone?
Huh. And then work on yourself maybe before you start.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. If you're not healthy about yourself, you're going to go out and you're going to find someone else who is also not healthy. And then you're going to come together and either be codependent with each other. And maybe you'll work through that together if you're highly empathic people. But, who else really loves codependent people are narcissists.
And there we get back to it.
Exactly. And we don't want to attract that.
You know what? Next year, before Valentine's Day, we're going to do a whole week of shows with you. Just you, Kristen. Hey, but we've got to get to, there's so much more to, we need to get to how to heal from an unhealthy relationship. And you and I saw this on social media. Healing from traumatic relationships. Because who hasn't had issues I mean, you know, you've got teenagers. Everything is traumatic then. And then you live a little and you go through stuff. So there are ways that you can sort of self-heal. And I know you love this topic because you love for us to take care of ourselves.
Yes, I know. I feel like I preach that so much that people maybe roll their eyes, but it's so true. You have to figure out how to be your own best friend, what makes you happy that you can do on your own. And in terms of healing from these kinds of relationships, the biggest thing that you can do for yourself is to not go get in another one. Be by yourself for a while. Go to therapy. Read books about, you know, healing and self-help. Go to some therapy groups if needed. Be with your friends and family. But do not just go jump into another relationship. There's a lot of nurturing that needs to go on, you know, with yourself. And you really need to prove to yourself that you've got your own back. Because these relationships, when they happen, you've let yourself down, even if it's subconsciously. You've got to kind of prove to yourself, hey, I have a parent inside of me, and she or he is going to take care of me, and that parent is me.
Mm. I think it's important that we mention that we should give ourselves a break, have a little conversation with yourself and say, you know, this might be a tough thing to go through, but you're going to get through it. And know it's going to be tough, so don't let that bring you down and make it even worse of a spiral sort of thing. And sort of give yourself that grace, don't you think?
Absolutely. And listen, if you're going through a rough spot and you can't seem to get out of it, talk to a psychiatrist about possibly taking some antidepressants if you're okay with that during that time so that you can develop the behaviors you need in order to have healthy boundaries and self-love. And then, you know, if you don't need to keep taking them after, that's fine too. Or if you do, that's also fine. But don't be afraid to look at things kind of outside of your comfort zone that might be helpful.
Great words. Before we move on, let's take one more look at the graphic, if we could. And just to show our audience, honor your needs, practice positive self-talk, reassure yourself, take the time you need to process, reaffirm your self-worth, practice self-care, like Kristen says, and just take good care of yourself. Kristen, got about a minute and a half, but I want to ask you, Safer Internet Day, what's a healthy way to use the internet that you know, not spending too much time? I suppose we all OD in this day and age.
Yeah, time limits and getting off of your phone, you know, to go do some activity where it is really hard for you to take that phone with you. You don't need to take a selfie when you go hiking. You can
really
do that
don't.
After.
Say that again.
You do not need to take selfies when you're hiking or horseback riding or playing with your dogs. Like, not every moment of your life needs to be recorded, you know, on film. You can have it recorded right here inside your memory. So
don't be so narcissistic, right?
Exactly. Leave that phone away. And with kids, healthy, this is a lot of parents are going to go, there's no way I can make this happen. You can. Everybody drops their phone off and it goes into a cabinet before they go to bed. Because you know what your kids need a lot of? They need a lot of sleep. And if they have that phone there with them, they're going to be looking at the phone under the blankets like we used to with a flashlight. They're looking at a phone. So get the phones away from them so that they can get the sleep they need.
Yeah, hashtag Safer Internet Day has been trending. So we appreciate you jumping in and talking about that too. Kristen Sunata Walker of the Mental Health News Radio Network. And you can find all kinds of stuff on her website, Podcast from Everybody. Kristen, thanks so much. We'll probably talk to you before Valentine's Day, but happy Valentine's Day just the same.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, we'll see you next time. We're back on America Trends right after this to talk a little bit about, hey, Ella Fitzgerald.
Fala pra mim. Quem rasgou a caminha? Senta. Senta. Quem rasgou a caminha, Meg? Quem rasgou a caminha, Meg?
Hey everyone, want to apologize. We're going to have Scamicide on again soon. We didn't get to them, but there's another Nest camera hacking incident. Go to scamicide.com. Keep track of what the bad guys are doing so you can stay safe. on the internet. Thank you for being here, and thanks to Jeanette Arona that talked to us about healing Lyme disease and her website, Wellness for Lyme. Kristen Sunana Walker talking about all kinds of good stuff relating to mental health. She is with the Mental Health News Radio Network, founder and one of the hosts there. So we always really, really appreciate all of them. Hey, finally, tonight, later in the week, we're going to have our friend of the show, Jeffrey Marks, showman and author of Ella. And he wants to come in and honor her for Black History Month. His book came out last year, and now it's just about to be released in softback. He's going to come in, and he's going to sing for us and do all kinds of great stuff and talk a lot about her. She's got such a story and such talent and such an American treasure. And so we're just going to close out with a little bit of Ella and her amazing, amazing scatting as we say goodbye for now.
Hee 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 hee.